Well, good evening. It's good to be with you again and even tonight. Thank you again for the invitation to come and to preach the gospel message. Now, I've got three verses I'd like to look at tonight, just three verses. And the first one is in Genesis chapter 11 and verse 4. Genesis chapter 11 and verse 4, please. And hopefully we'll see the theme. Genesis chapter 11 and verse 4. And they said, "Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." Now, Proverbs chapter 18, please, and verse 10. Proverbs 18 and verse 10. Proverbs 18 and verse 10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe." The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. And finally, Psalm 18 and verse 2. Psalm 18 and verse 2, please. I wonder if anyone's spotted the theme so far. There's not any prizes for anyone that gets that, by the way. Psalm 18 and verse 2. "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower." Now, I was told there might be some children here tonight, and I do see there are some children up the back, and I see there are some bigger children up the front. So I brought with me a picture. Hopefully you find it interesting. Can everyone see this? Now, you may have noticed in the verses that we read, there was reference to a high tower and a strong tower in each of the verses. Here is a very, very high tower. Can everyone see that? I don't know if anyone knows where this is. This is in Dubai, and Michelle and I stopped there on the way home from a holiday just recently, and we went to see this high tower. Now, this is a very, very high tower. It's called the Burj Khalifa, and it was completed, I think, two years ago. And it is 828 metres high. Now, that really doesn't mean very much to you, apart from it's quite high, but we need to put this in context. 828 metres high, which is 2,700 feet. Do you know the next highest tower in the world is only 550 metres high? So this tower, which they built in 2010, is nearly 50% higher than the next highest tower. What then was the world's tallest tower? It's massive. It is absolutely massive. And if I was to ask you what the highest building is in the UK, I don't know what you'd say. Is there any clever people out there? In fact, it was only completed a few months ago in London, and it's called The Shard. I don't know if you've seen that building. But that building was just completed this year, and it is only, let's see if I can find my notes here, it is only 310 metres high. This is 828 metres high. And if I was to ask you what's the highest building in Scotland, what would you say? I don't know if anybody knows that. But my internet tells me that the highest building in Scotland is only 127 metres. It's tiny, isn't it? It's a bit pretty pathetic, really, isn't it? 127 metres, and that's at the Glasgow Science Centre, which is just at the River Clyde, of course, the Glasgow Tower. That building cost over £1 billion to build. £1 billion. And at the bottom, there's an inscription which is written by the ruler of Dubai. And it's quite interesting because it says this. The gist of it is this, that they wanted to build something that would give them a name. That's the gist of it. They wanted to build something that would give them a name. They wanted to build something that was so amazing and so incredible and so big and so expensive that people from all over the world would want to talk about it and would want to go and see it. Now, I thought that was very interesting, and I did remember it. And when I was thinking about it, I was thinking about Genesis chapter 11. Now, let's remember what we read in Genesis chapter 11 and verse 4. Because here are some people in the Bible, and they wanted to build a tower. Now, this sets us in context, of course. This is near the very start of the history of man. And remember that there was great sin, and God was very, very angry with mankind, and he sent a flood. But he preserved just a few people, and of course Noah came through the flood with his immediate family. And when they came off the ark, they started to repopulate the earth. And then we move on a chapter or two, and we come to chapter 11, and it says that the people were found in the land of Shinar, if that's how you pronounce it, or Shinar, and they dwelt there. And this is what they wanted to do. They wanted to build, it says in verse 4, a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And notice this, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Let us make us a tower, and let us make ourselves a name. Now, mankind has done some pretty amazing things. It's done some pretty awful things. We'll talk about that in a bit more detail later. But man has done some amazing things in his own strength. We can think about that building that was built. We can think about the fact that a man went to the moon, and subsequently more men have went to the moon. We've just been talking about and watching the Olympics, and we can think about men and women that have achieved some great achievements in their own strength. But when it comes to spiritual matters, and when it comes to God, and when it comes to eternity, where we will spend eternity after we die here on earth, man can achieve absolutely nothing in his own strength, in his own ability, and of his own efforts. That's absolutely crucial. In fact, man can never get to heaven of his own accord, of his own actions, of his own efforts. They wanted to build a tower that would reach all the way to heaven. Talk about reaching high. Talk about an aspiration. Of course we know that it's impossible to build a tower that can ever get us to heaven. But you know, in the same way, by living just a good life, as commendable as that would be, and a good aspiration to have, that of course would never get us to heaven. And by being good to our neighbours, and even loving our neighbour as ourselves, which the Bible and Lord Jesus himself would tell us to do, is extremely commendable, but that wouldn't get us to heaven. And neither would giving a lot of money to charity, and neither in fact would coming simply to church. None of these things will get us to heaven, and we can't get there of our own efforts and our own strength and our own actions. No matter what man thinks he can achieve compared to his peers and within his own peers. Now in verse 4 we noted that the people wanted to make a name for themselves. And this is exactly the same as the inscription that's at the bottom of this building. They want to make a name for themselves. And you know, there's nothing wrong with being successful. And there's nothing wrong with trying to do well and to do good things and great things. There's nothing wrong with even, you know, becoming wealthy, per se. But the problem here is this, that if all we're doing is focusing on all these things and our own aspirations, and the world is obsessed today with fame, isn't it, being famous? And it's obsessed today with being wealthy and all these kind of things. But if that's all we're focused on, and we've not got any thought of God, any thought whatsoever about God, we're not thinking about him, we're not interested in what he's got to say to us, we're not interested in what he wants us to do, we're not thinking about eternity and the significance of that, that we're in a dangerous, dangerous place. There's an interesting verse in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 4. It says this, "For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. He that built all things is God." I just want us to take from this little story, and a true event of course, in Genesis chapter 11, that man can try to achieve things of his own strength, and there might be some merit in them for sake, but when it comes to eternity and the things of God, man can achieve nothing of his own strength. God is all important. God is all powerful. And tonight we need to be very clear in our minds, not only that God exists, but that he loves us, that he cares for us, that he wants us to be saved, and that he wants us to listen to what he's got to say from his word. Now let's look at Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 10, please. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 10. And of course here we have another mention of a high tower, in this case a strong tower. Proverbs 18 and verse 10. "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are saved." The message that we have tonight from God's word, God's inspired word, we believe this, book is no ordinary book. This is the truth from God. Exactly what God would reveal to us, what he wants us to know, what he wants us to do. And our message really is very simple. It's to present the good news of the gospel. And in it tonight I want to think about a warning. There's a warning for us all to heed. Because there's danger. There's danger. But also here's the great news, that there is someone who can keep us safe from the danger, who can save us and protect us and deliver us. And here is a verse that mentions a strong tower. Now we'll get to the tower in a second, but I want to think about four things in this verse. I want to think about the name of the Lord. I want to think about the strong tower itself. I want to think about the righteous. And I want to think about being saved. Now first of all, the name of the Lord. That's why we're here tonight. We're here to tell you about God from his word. And we're here to tell you his message. And specifically we're here to tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Son of God himself. What does it say about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God? It says this, that God the Father hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ is extremely important. There has never been a more important person who has been here on earth. This is God's Son. God's Son. And it says in that verse, Jesus Christ is Lord. We're thinking about the name of the Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord, it tells us in the New Testament. The name Jesus Christ itself is so precious, isn't it? And it's so special. We know today there are people in different countries that would have the name Jesus. You'd be given that name. It's a popular name, I think, in South America and in Spain. But only one person has the attribute of what that word means. Saviour. There is only one person. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it means. It was said in prayer, wasn't it? The angel appeared unto Joseph and said this, you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He's a saviour. And of course Christ, which means the Messiah or the Anointed One. This is somebody that's very, very, very important. It's somebody that we have to give very close consideration to. Now the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ came from heaven. He was the Son of God. He is the Son of God. And he came from heaven to this earth just over 2,000 years ago. Born in very humble circumstances. But he grew up and he lived as a man. And he was absolutely perfect, the Bible tells us. Absolutely perfect. He had no sin in him. He had nothing within him that responded to sin. He could not sin. He thought no sin. He said nothing that was sinful. We cannot say that about anybody else that's walked on this earth. He is absolutely unique in that regard, in his holiness, in his purity, and in his perfection. This is someone that's not only very important, but someone that is very, very special. And as he lived his life, the Bible tells that he performed many miracles. Things that nobody else could do but God here on earth. And he healed people and he blessed people. But there was a day when he was 33 years old, when his ministry was finished, when he went to a cross at Calvary, and the Son of God, who the Bible tells is also the creator and sustainer of this whole world, died a brutal, horrific death for us. He hung there on a cross and was mistreated immensely by man. Nails placed in his hand, a spear placed into his side, a crown of thorns placed on his head, and he was mocked and he was beaten. And the Bible says that his face was marred more than any man. And what is this horrific scene all about? What is it all about? And why did it happen to one who had done nothing wrong? Because the Lord Jesus Christ came from heaven to live on this earth for one reason, that he might die as a sacrifice for sins. And we'll talk about sins in just a moment or two. This is a very important concept that God has to tell us about. The Lord Jesus Christ died as a sacrifice for us. For us. He didn't die for anything that he had done wrong, for he had done nothing wrong, but he died as a sacrifice for us. Now, I want to think about the strong tower, because that's what the name of the Lord is likened to in this verse. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. And the first thing I want to say about this is we have to realise this. Because we're talking about a strong tower, that means, by implication, that there's danger. And this is the warning. This is the warning. Now, I've been watching a series recently about the history of Scotland. I just got to the stage in my life when I realised I don't know much about modern history. And it's quite interesting. And all the way through the history of Scotland, we're just going to be fighting the English all the time. And occasionally we're fighting with the French against the English, but nonetheless. And there's towers, and there's castles, and there's forts. And it's just things moving from one to the other, and attacking one another. And it's just a lot of battles and towers and castles. Interesting nonetheless. But here we have a strong tower. And what is that really telling us? Well, in the old days when there was battles, if you were in danger, or you were worried about potential attack, one of the things you would do is you would get yourself to a strong tower. A strong tower. Not just a tower, because a tower is actually fairly easy to attack. But in this case, a strong tower. A tower that's protected. Now the great thing about a tower is this, that you can almost hide in there, and you can have protection in there. But the great thing about a tower is, of course, it's high, and we're thinking about that very high building in Dubai. You can go up the tower, and you can look out, and you can see over the land, and you can see when an enemy is approaching. You can see them afar off, so you can be prepared for an attack. It's a great place to be if there's danger. Now what does the Bible say? It says the name of the Lord, and by implication, of course, the Lord Jesus himself is a strong tower. But what is this danger? What is the danger that we're talking about? Well, we need to think about the righteous in this verse. The righteous run into it and are saved. What does this word mean, righteous? Well, it just simply means this, to be right with God. To be right with God. Now, is everybody right with God? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. In fact, the Bible would tell us it's the complete opposite that is true. Men and women are not right with God. What does the Bible say? The Bible says that the heart of man is deceitful and above all things desperately wicked. That is quite a condemning statement, isn't it? The heart of man is deceitful and above all things is desperately wicked. Who could know it? What does the Bible say? It says, even our righteousness, even our good things, are as filthy rags. That's what God sees, a holy God, when he looks upon us. Even our best things are like filthy rags. Now imagine you were going to a wedding and you put on your very, very best rags, your very, very best clothes, and you think, oh, I'm looking quite good today. What's God's conclusion? They're like filthy, filthy rags. And of course the Bible tells that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've just missed the standard. Now, just at our meeting just there an hour ago, we had our afternoon meeting today, and the illustration was given at the Olympics about men and women in the high jump and the pole vault. And who's the winner? The winner is the man or woman that manages to clear the bar that no one else could clear. They're the winner. They managed to go the highest, and they cleared the bar or the standard that was set. But the illustration is given, of course, this is true, that God sets the bar so high that there's not a single one of us that could ever clear it. Never ever clear it of our own efforts and our own work. Because God's standard, of course, is perfection, isn't it? It's perfection. And it's a standard and an example that we see in his Son, the Lord Jesus, so clearly. Absolute perfection. And none of us come even close to it. We can only come even close to it. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So is everyone righteous? Absolutely not. Men and women, we are all, myself, we are unrighteous in the eyes of our holy God. But the righteous run into the high strong tower and are saved. Why are we unrighteous in the eyes of God? Because of our sin. That's just all the bad things that we do. That's just all the things that displease God and come short of God's glory and God's standard. And every single one of us, the Bible would tell us, has done that. So we need to learn this. Only the righteous are saved. Only the righteous are able to enter into that strong tower. Only the righteous are in the Lord Jesus Christ and are safe. Friends, tonight we need to learn from the Bible this very clear statement that God has to tell us. Because of our sin, we are in danger. We are in grave, grave danger. And this is the warning of the gospel message. If we go through our lives without dealing with this problem of sin and confronting it, and coming before God and asking God to take our sin away and trust in the Lord Jesus, if we live our lives and we come to the end of our lives and pass into eternity, into death, and have still this problem of sin, then we are in grave danger. Because the Lord Jesus Christ will judge us for our sin, and we will be separated from God for all of eternity. Now this is a grave matter. There is no other danger like this. Some people say that every time you get in your car, there's danger and you have to be alert. You have to drive carefully so that you're safe. But that pales into insignificance about the danger that is warned about here. It's a danger that could take us into eternity, God's judgment, and separation from God for all of eternity. No entry into God's heaven. No forgiveness of sins, God's punishment. That is danger. I hope we understand that and realise that, the danger of not having our sin dealt with. But here's the great thing about the gospel message, the great thing about what God has to say to us tonight, that we can be safe. We can be delivered from that danger, and we can be in somebody who will save us, and who will protect us, and who will deliver us. And his ability to do that is absolutely not in question. Absolutely not in question. So the righteous run into it, and they are saved. So you ask the question then, how can I become righteous? How can I enter into that strong tower? How can I be delivered from the danger? How can I be safe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, the verse really intimates how we can do it. We need to be in the Lord Jesus. We need to be out of our sins, and we need to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that there is one mediator between man and God, that man Christ Jesus. And we mentioned about our sin earlier on, the things that we've done that are wrong, the things that we've done that have fallen short of God's standard, and because of that, we're separated from God. We've mentioned there's just no way of getting there. We can't build a tower. We can't jump high enough. We can't run fast enough. We can't work hard enough. There is just a big gap between God and between sinful man. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he can bridge that gap. He can be that mediator. And he's already done the work. He's already done the work when he died on the cross at Calvary. Remember, we mentioned that earlier. That's why he came to this earth. He lived that he might die, and in dying that we might have life eternal. And when we have the young meeting, meeting with the young folk on a Friday night, and we talk about eternity, and we talk about heaven, we always say to them, how long is eternity? And they'll put their hands up, and one of them eventually will say, forever. And then we'll say, and they'll say, forever. And we'll say, and they'll say, forever. And we'll keep that going for quite a while. It's forever, and forever, and forever. The Lord Jesus Christ walking the cross at Calvary, and the shedding of his precious blood, has dealt with the problem of sin forever. Sins that are past, sins that are present, and sins that will yet commit future. And all we need to do is trust in him. We need to come to God, and we need to say, God, I admit and confess my sin. I recognise the danger. I recognise the fault, the sin. And I'm confessing it to you. And I am trusting, and I am believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that he can take it away because of his work on the cross at Calvary. And he can save me. And he can protect me. And he can deliver me for eternity. Forever and forever and forever. The righteous. When you do that, you become righteous in the eyes of God. And God looks right in the hall tonight. And he sees those that are lost and they're still in their sins. And he sees those who are Christians, who are forgiven. He sees those who are unrighteous and those who are righteous. And our verse tells this, that the righteous run into that strong power. They are in the Lord Jesus, and they are safe. I just want to ask you a question tonight. Are you safe? Are you safe? It's a wonderful thing to know you're safe. The world is a messy, messy place. We say earlier about some of the great things that man's done. Man's done far more bad things than he's done good things. Let's be honest about it. For all the constructive inventions and things that they've done, the amount of destruction has been horrific. The amount of evil has been horrific. Violence has been horrific. It's a difficult place, a fearful place, a place full of worry, an unhappy place, the world. But for the Christian, there is security and safety and forgiveness and peace and hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Isn't that a wonderful thing? And if you've never known what it feels like to have your sins forgiven, and what it feels to be like to be in the Saviour, and out of your sin, and the great joy that that brings, and maybe tonight could be the night if you've never done it, and then there will be no danger for eternity. You will be safe and secure. Let's look at Psalm 18 and verse 2 finally. Psalm 18 and verse 2. Another verse that mentions a tower, a high tower this time. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. Notice what it says here. The next verse says, I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from mine enemies. Notice that again. I will call upon the Lord. That's what we need to do, isn't it? Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to save us. But notice this, what it says about the Lord Jesus. My rock is somebody who we can depend upon 100%. He is absolutely secure. My fortress. Now, we mentioned the fact that how important a tower is in battle. But a tower isn't as strong as a fortress. But notice the Lord Jesus, the Lord is both a strong tower and a fortress. Now, fortresses are even better than towers, I think. They're not quite as high up, so you can see that you're even safer than one of those. They're heavily fortified. There's probably many outer rings of defences. And when you're in the middle, you're extremely, extremely safe. It's a place you want to be when there's danger. And notice what it says, the Lord is a fortress. It also says that he's a deliverer, and we've been thinking about that. He can deliver us from our sins, and he can put us in a safe place, in whom I will trust. And that's what it takes tonight. It takes simple faith, simple belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, and saying to God, I believe the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that he died to save me from my sin. So the next time, perhaps you're in the city and you see a high building, or perhaps maybe you see one on TV or whatever, maybe we can remember these verses from the Bible that talk about high and strong towers. Maybe we can remember that we can never get to heaven. We can never build a building that can get as high as that. Of course we can't. That would be ridiculous. We can never get there of our own ability. Let us remember that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord himself, is a strong tower. And when there is danger, and the Bible tells us there is danger, that we need to do something about it, have our sins forgiven, and trust in him. And when we do that, we become righteous. And we can enter into that strong tower, the Lord Jesus himself, and we are safe for all of eternity. Let's have a word of prayer. God and Father, we want to once again thank you for thy word. We thank you for the truth that is contained within it. And we thank you, Father, again for the Lord Jesus, the one who came to die for us. We thank you for the perfect example that he set, and for his perfect life, and above all, Father, for his incredible sacrifice on that cross. We thank you, Father, that for every single one of us, that we can be safe in him. The invite has gone out tonight, and goes out every day, until he comes again. That men and women can have their sins taken away, can have forgiveness of their sins, and can go to eternity and spend it in heaven with you. And all we need to do is confess our sins and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and his work on the cross at Calvary. So, Father, help us to understand these things. Often, Father, it's a very simple message. Perhaps we make it too complicated. The warning of danger, and that we need to get to a place that is safe and be protected, and that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to understand these things from the youngest to the oldest. And if there is anyone here tonight who has not yet accepted the Lord Jesus as their Saviour, that tonight might be that very night. We read these things in thy hand, asking for a blessing there as we part in the Saviour's name. Amen. Let me just take time to sing a couple of verses of a hymn, please. 273. And we'll sing verses 1 and 2. Only a step to Jesus, then why not take it now? Come in thy sin confessing, to him thy Saviour bow. Only a step, come he waits for thee. Come in thy sin confessing, thou shalt receive a blessing. Do not reject the mercy he freely offers thee. 273, we'll sing verses 1 and 2, please, just keeping our seats.